Welcome aboard the Highway in the Sky. Please hold on, please hold on. Thank you. No smoking, please.
Hello and welcome to Monorail Blue, a new podcast from Disney Examiner, your weekly source for all things related to Walt Disney parks and resorts. My name is Andy.
I'm Danny.
And I'm Jordan.
For this week's episode, we are dedicating it to a discussion about Hurricane Irma and its effect on Disney World. And also, we're going to briefly talk about the upcoming Halloween festivities at the Disneyland Resort. So there won't be a news rundown this week. But in spite of that, please enjoy our conversation. For this week's talk, we're going to talk about something a little somber, but it's important to talk about nonetheless. Hurricane Irma, a very powerful hurricane, hit the Caribbean and the United States, mostly Florida, last week, and it affected Disney World. But at first, our hearts and minds and prayers go out to all those affected by the hurricanes in the Caribbean and Florida and in America, too. It's not easy dealing with these natural disasters, and all who you're out there, please, you know, send some money if you can to help donate to any cause that helps hurricane victims for Irma and also Harvey too, because we got hit by two big hurricanes and it's never fun. But we're going to talk about how Disney World prepared for that, because for the fifth time in its history, Disney World closed. And it's kind of interesting to see how that plan went on. So Jordan, why don't we start talking about that? And Danny too, obviously.
Sure. Yeah. Well said, Andy, in regards to our well wishes being sent out to our Florida listeners. Hope you guys are starting to recover well, and know that we're here to support you guys in any way that we can. And hopefully it involves just being able to talk about better things on this podcast. And I think one of the lighthearted things, not really too somber, but the idea that, you know, the resort still is in one piece for the most part is actually quite happy news. There was minimal damage that the resort sustained at each of its properties in Orlando. It's also good to note that the storm really just it went over Orlando, but it really wasn't as hard hit, of course, as Tampa and some of the coastal cities, Tampa and Miami. And so there really just was a lot of rain, a lot of wind, but not as near enough to compare to those the winds and the rains that came to those cities. And so, yeah, there really wasn't any major damage sustained. And in fact, I think it has to do a lot with the preparedness of how cast members at the resort actually took advantage of knowing, you know, when the majority of the storm would be hitting their area, and taking the precautions to ensure that not just the infrastructure, but the guests themselves who were, you know, staying and vacationing at the resort would be safe. And so, you know, there's a great post, great story that the Huffington Post posted, Huffington Post posted, a few days ago, and kind of just shows some pictures of what cast did to make sure that they were hurricane ready, namely for Irma. You get to see, some of these pictures include just, you know, simple plastic wrap around some of the fast pass poles and around signage and lights that had, you know, glass bulbs around them, or fixtures and enclosures, I should say. They took off anything that would fly away. So a lot of fabric ceilings were also shown to have been removed at the water parks themselves. You know, they took away the cushions, so that was more of the infrastructure part of the preparedness. But also another part of the preparedness is that the guests were very much taken care of. They were told to seek shelter in their hotel rooms. And from what I understand, in the building, many of Disney's resorts, they have hurricane proof materials being built in their design as well. So many of the guests actually did feel quite safe in their hotel rooms where they sought shelter. And no reported injuries at all from them. And Disney also was very kind to be able to give them their, there's another picture on that HuffPost article where it shows they got, food, snacks and water, and they were well taken care of in that way as well. So bravo to just the Walt Disney World cast for making sure that guest safety was their highest concern. Making sure that they were prepared for something like this. And I guess that's a happy note coming out of Walt Disney World in regards to Irma and the hurricane. So there you have it.
Yeah. I think I started watching it, as soon as I knew that it was hitting Florida and it was going right up the middle of the state, I immediately got worried for the resort, and because I have a lot of friends that, that work there, that live there. I kind of wanted to just make sure that everything was going to be okay with them. I followed it pretty closely that night. I became obsessed with it when it was getting close to Walt Disney World. It looked like it was going to be spared from a direct hit, but then about 8 p.m., the storm again shifted, and the eye was heading directly for the resort, and it did actually pass over the resort completely. And that's when it took the majority of its damage that it did sustain. There were a couple prominent Disney news sites that covered it during what was happening. Walt Disney World News Today, which is a site I usually look at, he actually was staying at the resort. He lives pretty close to the resort. He mentioned on his social media accounts that he felt like the Disney resorts were safer, so he actually booked a hotel room at the Yacht and Beach Club and stayed at the resort, and he kind of documented his staying there during the whole thing so people could follow it along. And he was walking the corridors, between the yacht and the beach club during the time when the hurricane was passing. And it was very creepy. The winds were really howling on the building and everything was creaking. And it was an interesting watch for sure. But it was cool because he was also showing how Disney was preparing for everything. They were, since the guests were stuck in the hotel, they had characters, they had activities. They were offering food service round the clock at the different restaurants. It seemed like they were really, trying to interact with guests and making the best of what they had in the moment since they weren't able to go to the parks. From what I could see on all the posts from the day after, it looked like, there wasn't a lot of damage, but it sure left a humongous mess. And so they had quite their hands full, trying to clean up everything. It probably helped that they were closed, the day after the hurricane so that they could do that cleanup. A lot of downed trees. Don't think there was too much damage in regards to buildings and things like that. But there were some attractions that didn't reopen. The Disneyland or the Walt Disney World Railroad did not reopen, and neither did the Jungle Cruise. And both water parks remained closed. And all of these rides, I think, still remain closed as of this day. Haven't been given an official time to come back. Also, Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort remains closed as well too and has not reopened. They're looking at a possible reopen sometime next week, but they haven't given an official date on when that would reopen too. So a lot of guests, I'm sure, that had reservations to come bring their RV or whatever to Fort Wilderness are going to have to either be redirected and have to book their stay at another resort or just plan to bring their visit a different time. So it definitely wasn't unaffected, but it was spared from what it could have been, which is great. All the preparations were in place. And from what I could see on social media, it looked like all of the guests were really, really happy with how Disney was handling everything. I know some of the cast members were on the clock, more than 24 hours at a time, just trying to be there for the guests during that time. So if there's anyone that, needed
that's some
something
dedication.
Or, yeah, there was... customers that work there can sign up for what they call the ride out crew, where if they work at the resort hotels, they can work on the clock for multiple days to be there during that time. And I feel like if I was working for Walt Disney World, I think I might sign up for that too, because like, you know, the WDWNT, Walt Disney World News Today, gentleman mentioned, he felt like it was safer. I agree. Like, I feel like if I was, you know, maybe a young student or whatever working at Walt Disney World and I was just living in an apartment, I would feel personally more safe staying at a Disney resort during that time with, you know, water, food, and things that are available, most likely backup power, things like that. I would feel more safe at a Disney resort. So if I was a young kid working at Walt Disney World, I might, you know, sign up for that ride out crew too, because I just would feel safer. So
did you hear just randomly that Kristen Bell saved Josh Gad's family? Because I think they were staying at Walt Disney World, and she bought his whole entire...
I know she was in Florida or Orlando, but I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
When I was following that too.
But it was just interesting to see that, you know, Anna looked out for Olaf.
Yeah.
And there was a picture, you know, of a selfie that Josh Gad posted. I'll post it in the show notes of Kristen Bell sending him, and I think it was his mom and dad. But I mean, that's cool to see. And also too, this all this preparedness. I mean, Disney has to do this because this is one of their most valuable assets. So I'm pretty sure within their actuarial stuff, they take into account how to prepare for hurricane. And also, too, it's, I think, Florida law to build buildings so sturdy to withstand a hurricane, because Hurricane Andrew, named after me, just kidding, was a Category 5 that hit and just devastated the state. So I mean, it's good to see that the state was smart and Disney's smart too. Because, like you said, I'd rather stay at Disney World than
at home.
Yeah. Then also too, this bodes well in case, because in California, the biggest thing we have to worry about are earthquakes. So once an earthquake hits here, hopefully Disneyland could help, you know, could withstand that. And hopefully, I think Disney also too accounts for that too. You know,
yeah,
like, I feel like...
Yeah, I don't think you can compare earthquakes and hurricanes. You know, I'm not going to be fleeing the Disneyland, which is 30 minutes away from where I live, to
find
out something else.
I meant towards aftermath more than during the thing, you know?
Sure. Guest safety, and bottom line, guest safety is like, you know... I mean, yeah, it's what any theme park,
like
not
that.
Just Disney, needs to do. You know, any theme park that houses people, you know, needs to make sure that they take care of their guests. And safety is, yes, their number one concern. And so, yeah, closing up that, it's just, I'm happy that people were prepared. In this case, Disney was prepared to make sure that all this was good. And no one was hurt. Just small property damage, but nothing that they can't fix. So.
You can fix property, but you can't fix lives.
There you go.
And also, Disney gave $2.5 million to the relief. Specifically that hurricane, too. I'm not sure if they gave to anything in Houston, but I know that at least for Hurricane Irma, they gave $2.5 million.
I'm sure they gave
relief
for Houston.
In Florida and the Caribbean.
Yeah,
don't forget the Caribbean.
A donation of a million, I believe, after that. So.
Well, also, too, ABC did the telethon. Well, I mean,
did the telethon, yeah. So.
Yeah, so I'm sure within the telethon, some Disney money came in.
There you go. All right,
but
my friend.
Moving on to our next stop is a more happier topic.
Yes.
Halloween is coming to Disney parks. And, you know, it's one of the only times where you get to see Disneyland all decked out in, you know, non-traditional decorations. So we're going to do a live episode next week and kind of give you our hands-on impressions. But we just wanted to do a little quick primer to tell you, or to...
Hands-on impressions. We will be touching all the public spaces that there is at Disneyland.
We're going to get down...
Disney California Adventure Park.
But I want to give our thoughts of what we're looking forward to and maybe some of our favorite past Halloween events. So
sure. I guess we can also just clarify that we will be visiting Disneyland Resort in California, which is closer to where we are. If you haven't been following along and who we are and where we live, you can actually probably find us on the street. In so long, you probably could find us where we live. But yes, we live in Southern California, and we will be visiting the Disneyland Resort in California, which will be at that time already decked out fully for Halloween time. So I will personally be looking forward to, you know, new things. And I think the newest or the biggest new thing that will be coming for the season will be the Halloween overlay that's coming finally to Disney California Adventure Park. DCA is getting, you know, its own Halloween decorations, both on Buena Vista Street as well as in Cars Land. And they look good. I've seen pictures already of folks who have already been to the resort this week, who Disney's slowly been adding those decorations, and it looks fantastic. I think the other big thing too that I'm looking forward to both parks is, of course, the return of the food, the special food offerings that are
there's so many this year
coming.
So
yeah,
many.
I'm looking forward to, if I were to name one, you know, it's the pumpkin stuff.
I mean, I don't know if you guys seen that concept art or even just pictures in advance of the entrance to DCA. I had a chance to see the decorations for Carthay Circle and for the entrance to Disney California Adventure in person this week, rather, just before the start of everything on September 15th. And the new entranceway for Disney California Adventure is impressive. It's so massive that decoration that they put on there of Oogie Boogie and like all the bats and everything and the giant full moon behind it. It looks so, so impressive. I haven't seen it at night. I saw it during the day.
I think it only looks good at night.
Yeah, it looked really good during the day, at least from what I saw, but it is giant. So it does take up like a majority of it. So I think it would look cooler. It's going to have the green lights and everything like that. And then the Carthay's decorations were really neat. They have like bats flying off of it. I'm not really too sure how I feel about the weird purple banners everywhere in Buena Vista Street. Mm-hmm. It would have been cooler to see some more pumpkins, but I didn't get to see the Headless Horseman statue. I'm not sure if that was just not ready yet. But that's going to be cool too. But it's just really nice to see them have like you know, decor that people can go there and see. You know, I think that as we get closer and closer to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, they're going to start doing a lot more to DCA when it comes to holiday stuff so that, you know, the attention can really just be shifted out of Disneyland Park, where so many people are going to be focused on when that does open. They need to have some kind of something that's going to be drawing guests over equally. And so I feel like that holiday, you know, they have to have the holidays at Disneyland as well. But, you know, if they have that equal share, it gives people the, you know, the opportunity to celebrate the holidays at either park.
Yeah.
I feel like with Halloween, it's such a, you know, it was a missed opportunity for California Adventure, I think, before, because it's such a profitable holiday really for Disney parks. And it felt like Disney California Adventure was really missing out on that.
But also too, maybe with the Pixar Pier coming up in the future, they can do more with that, you know?
Yeah, but I think you have to just step back a little bit too, and that, you know, relatively speaking, you know, the new revamped DCA has only been around for a few years. You know, and I think you needed time for that to kind of settle in with people, to be able then to add an overlay to add that extra benefit. And so I think it comes at the right time. I wouldn't necessarily enjoy seeing the Sunshine Plaza with a Mickey pumpkin just slapped over it.
That actually would
things like that
funny.
Too. It would be tacky, you know.
No, I know,
and I think
know
that's what
mean.
Everybody has been complaining about, that DCA is the tackier park out of everything. But since the $1 billion expansion, you know, guest surveys would dictate that that's actually no longer the case. And so I'm happy it's happening now as opposed to not happening ever. To Danny's point too, I think a major reason why it's happening also, you know, according to sources that we have inside the park that we've been able to verify independently, that, you know, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars Land will, you know, be the talk of the town in 2019. And so they're really trying to, in any way possible, including with the addition of Pixar Pier, to drive as much traffic and attention to DCA before that time happens. and really get the crowd thinking about, you know, what other offerings there are as opposed to that, you know, the Star Wars land itself. And so smart planning, you know, because, you know, for us, we get new things. But we'll see how that really holds up when the park opens, or excuse me, when Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge Land,
Star Wars Galaxy's Land Edge
opens in 2019. Yeah.
It's all good. But Danny, we kind of got sidetracked. Do you have anything you're looking forward to? And what has been your favorite Halloween kind of experience at the parks?
I'm looking forward to Monsters After Dark from Guardians of the Galaxy, the new version of the attraction at nighttime, because I love that attraction so much. And a new version to #SaveGroot is going to be super awesome, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's great that a ride can be different during the day than it is at nighttime. It's such a unique experience that they should definitely do more often. You know, Ghost Galaxy is cool because it's like always like that, but it's cool when they can just transition a ride to a different experience at night.
It was also good for us pass holders because, granted how much we love the rides, you can only ride a ride so much, and it adds more incentive for us to go to the park, you know?
Right. And it's all synergy, you know, Jordan will tell you over and over again. You know, it just so happens that, you know, the main, you know, spoiler alert for anyone that doesn't want to, you know, if they haven't been on the attraction yet, but the main encounter of the monster is like Surtur's fire dragon, which is also something that appears in Thor Ragnarok. So Thor Ragnarok coming out, you know, it's all synergy. I mean, this was kind of a unique experience, specifically Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, because the attraction came out when the movie was still out. Mm-hmm. So it was a unique synergistic opportunity that Disney Parks really hadn't seen to this level, I feel, except for this attraction. And this is even building on that even more. I mean, you know, as Jordan could probably verify, you know, just based on theory, you know, I'm sure that the budget for, you know, advertising for Thor Ragnarok had something to do with the redo of this attraction as far as, you know, this Monsters After Dark version, because it does help promote that movie. Right. And they can reach into that budget. So it's just kind of unique when you think about that, the more of the parks, you know, integrating with the different arms and aspects of the company in ways right. that hasn't before. It's like, it's really cool. And I think that's why I'm most excited, is because this is like something that we've never seen at a Disney park before, at any of them, at any Disney parks. So,
well, that's the beauty of having a ride that's flexible.
Yes. Yes.
Like, because there's just video screens for the most part.
Yes.
Instead of building, you know, like Cars Land, you're
full on sets, right?
Yeah. With physical pieces. Recreating yep. Yep. a whole world essentially, but with Guardians, mm-hmm. It's so contained, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, it's obviously, I think Radiator Springs Racers is one of the best rides ever made by Disney. I mean, because you literally, there's like a freaking Mater there, and it's very vibrant and
but
animated.
That can't be changed, is what you're yeah. I mean, it yeah. can't be easily as changed, whereas you it's, have a TV it's more, screen.
It's right. more impressive it yes. just to be there, but like yeah. you said, it's static. I mean, the most yeah. you can do is put a Santa hat on it.
Right.
And then change the voice track. But with this, I mean, granted, like, since the ride completely almost, changed within
with
like,
the flip of
months.
A switch, by the way, you know, yeah. it literally is programmed to do this change from the daytime mode where, you know, it's just Mission Breakout to Monsters After Dark. It happens over the period of probably a minute or two.
It's really smart. Just like with Star Tours, too, with episode 8 coming out.
Yeah, they just have to program the new. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they just add a new thing, and you know.
And
oh,
quick,
we're...
Editor's note for our listeners out there that aren't familiar with the differences between the two. If you are interested in experiencing Guardians of the Galaxy Monsters After Dark, fast passes will be available for the attraction during the day, starting at 3 p.m. So you can't get a fast pass for the attraction before 3 p.m.
Good to know. I did not know that.
If you attempt to get a fast pass or a max pass, for Monsters After Dark before 3 p.m., it'll just be for Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. You have to wait until 3 p.m. to get a fast pass or max pass for the attraction.
Good to know. How about you, Andy? What is something that you're looking forward to? I think arguably Danny and I took the
Halloween.
Everything.
The seeing Cars Land. I got a little peek of it last week.
Yes.
And it looks phenomenal. But I like going to the classics. Let's be Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's the smartest overlay, I think.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Other than the Thor stuff, because there's synergy, but in terms of thematically,
yeah,
it just makes sense, and it kills two birds with one stone. They could leave it on for such a good chunk, and it made me love the movie, because I honestly, and I think most people are like this, didn't really know about the movie until the ride came along, and I think the ride helped popularize that movie, at least in my mind, in my social circles.
Sure.
But it's just so cool. Every year I have a pass, I look forward riding it. And I remember when it first came up, everyone wanted to go on it, because it was just, I felt like it was never really done before. I could be wrong. And
an overlay of that, yeah. I mean, an overlay of an attraction. Not to say that overlays have not happened before, prior to the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, but that was done tastefully. And then they had a hefty budget for that, too.
Yeah, it felt like it done it right. It did it right, instead of just putting Santa hats on a pirate or something.
There you go.
Or a mater. But, and also, I remember having special beignets. Am I crazy? A Halloween one.
Pumpkin beignets.
Yeah,
those are back, I think. I think they're back.
Yes, they are back.
Those are pretty good.
Yes.
They are back with a plethora of new, there's just the amount of new Halloween treats and food available are just insane this year.
Yeah, you're just going to have to walk around.
So, next week.
Find it. We're going to try as many as we can, I suppose.
I think we should hit a couple.
Okay.
No, but yeah, Jordan and I were talking about Cars Land 2. It's so impressive. I mean, it looks more impressive. It looks more impressive than what they do for Christmas. There is literally no area untouched in Cars Land for the Halloween overlay. It's like every display window, every signage. I mean, and really kind of like under the radar. People don't realize that Luigi's Rollickin' Roadsters and like Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, they're actually getting new versions of those rides too.
Yeah.
So,
but not people don't realize Springs. That.
I don't know. I haven't said anything specific on that. If there are any changes inside there, it'd be really unique. I know that in the last couple of days, we've all had seen in our social media feeds, I'm sure, the new Mater and Lightning McQueen out in the parks. And the Mater costume is incredible.
The vampire Mater.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks so good. Like, there isn't a surface on him that hasn't been redone. He looks super, super good.
I think Cars Land is the best land to revamp, since it's mostly based in our world, in reality. I mean, even though they're cars, they're still relatively human.
And I think that's go ahead.
No, it makes the most sense. Like, because you can't really do that in Bug's Life. I mean, you could, but it just feels more natural to me, other than like a Main Street, obviously. And it's just...
And I like how everything that's been made into like a, you know, in quotations, jack-o'-lantern. The mouth of the jack-o'-lantern is like replicates like a car grill.
Yeah.
For every single one, because it's like, that's like a scary version of a car, is like a car grill, like the old fashioned one. So it's like unique how they even went down to that. Like all the cozy cones have been turned into that. And then like the cozy cone has like, lighting that's being strung from the building, just like at Christmas time, but the little cones that hang off of it have like jack-o'-lantern faces rather than just regular cone lights like they are at Christmas time. So it's just like even down to that detail, and then like the spider webs all over the land being made of like chain link, which is, you know, they've hung like the creepy moss everywhere. It just looks so good. And they have even the big billboard at the beginning of Cars Land, when you first walk in, the big postcard billboard, that's been changed too.
It also changed for Cars 3, because it's actually kind of a spoiler for the movie, I would think.
Yeah. And it changes for Christmas too. It says like season speedings or whatever.
Yeah.
So, that's cute.
Well, anyways, I have to jump in here so that we just, you know, we actually have stuff to talk about next week when we're there. But yeah, no, I think bottom line again, you know, it's another tastefully, properly done overlay, seasonal overlay at a Disney park. Looking forward to bringing more and describing more of what we see and the foods that we'll eat and the sounds that we'll hear and everything else that comes with the seasonal overlay when we go ahead and record that episode next week.
Yeah, so stay tuned.
No smoking, please.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Monorail Blue. If you like this episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave your feedback. Give us a 5-star review. It helps other people find the podcast. In addition, if you want to send more detailed feedback, please send us an email at monorailblue@disneyexaminer.com. Also, please give us a visit at our social media pages at Monorail Blue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And also, please follow at Disney Examiner for all the latest Disney news. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful week.
We are circling the Disney-created Seven Seas Lagoon. Rising from the Magic Kingdom, on the opposite shore is Cinderella Castle. You can also see Disney's mountain range, Big Thunder Mountain and Splash Mountain in Frontierland, and Space Mountain in Tomorrowland. To the right-hand side...